just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to your questions, a couple of comments on last night's debate. I watched all 2 hours of it, and I was particularly taken by a particular statement made by John Huntsman. And this, from my perspective, is not a political statement, at least not on my part. But I think it is a statement that calls all of us to sharpen our discernment skills. John Harris, the Politico moderator, or one of the moderators, asked a question. John Huntsman responded to that question, and it was a question about global warming and evolution. Listen to this, and then I'll make a couple of comments.
You yourself have said the party is in danger of becoming anti-science. Who on the stage is anti-science?
Listen, when you make comments that fly in the face of what 98 out of 100 climate scientists have said, when you call into question the science of evolution, all I am saying is that in order for the Republican Party to win, we can't run from science. We can't run from mainstream conservative philosophy. We've got to win voters. We've got to do what I did as governor when I was reelected. We reached out and we brought in independents. I got independents, I got conservative Democrats. If we're going to win in 2012, we've got to make sure that we have somebody who can win based upon numbers, the math that will get us there. And by making comments that basically don't reflect the reality of the situation, we turn people off.
According to John Huntsman, the reality of the situation is that evolution and global warming are settled science. The question is, are they indeed settled science? Was Al Gore correct when he said that global warming was the single greatest threat facing the global community? The problem is this: if we have a ready, fire, aim syndrome, where we fire first and then we aim, we might be hitting the wrong target. In fact, the global community might indeed spend tens of trillions of dollars fighting a phantom problem, when for $200 billion, you could provide clean water for every area of the world that now faces contaminated water. And in a economic mess, firing at the wrong target is catastrophic. And yet John Huntsman thinks that global warming is settled science. The issue here is to learn to ask the right question and to learn to ask the right question in the right sequence. Is the earth warming? If it's warming, is human activity causing the warming? And if it's warming, is it actually bad overall? Is it cyclical? And suppose it is warming, we're causing it, and it's bad, would implementing any of the policies around today make a difference? Or would cost exceed benefit? These are all questions related to discernment. And as Christians, we need discernment skills. The same thing is true of evolution. According to Huntsman, evolution is settled science. But is it really settled science? Is it settled science to say nothing created everything? That life came from non-life? And the life that came from non-life produces morals? According to evolutionary theory, all living things, bacteria, plants, animals, descended with modification from common ancestors by means of natural selection operating on random variations. That, of course, means that we humans came into existence by blind, undirected, purely material processes. Think with me for a moment about what that actually means. If Madonna is merely a material world girl that lives in a material world, all she thinks, all she says, all she does is fatalistically determined by mechanistic material processes. Thus, she has no free will, and indeed all reason and rationality is reduced to a material reflex. Ironically, then, the theory of evolution is epistemically self-defeating. For the theory undermines good reasons evolutions give for believing the theory is true, since the theory is conjured up by minds that are themselves produced by a material process that is not rational and not at all interested in truth. So to say that I believe in evolution or that evolution is settled science is to say that I walk lockstep to the tune of political correctness. And therein lies the problem. Political correctness today is winning the war. And as Christians, we have to have the discernment skills to take the fallacy and use it as a springboard or an opportunity to communicate truth. Evolution is in a state of decay. It is crumbling in the face of empirical science. And now we have pseudo-intellects trying to prop it up. And unfortunately, it's true in the Christian community as well, where we have Christians who are now embracing theistic evolution. I've said this many times on the broadcast. If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but please don't blame God for it. It is cruel. It is inefficient. It flies in the face of fact. So again, use your discernment skills. Particularly this political season, as you hear the rhetoric, think. All too often, we don't have time to think because the commercial's next, or the next sound bite comes next, and style wins over substance, technique wins over good theology. That's unfortunate. But we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm, and that is what we as Christians are called to do because truth matters, and that is why we ask you to stand with the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's not to support an organization, but to touch lives, not just for time, but for eternity. You can do that in a safe, secure way on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And I bring all this up because this month we have a September appeal titled Metamorphosis. This is a DVD that is among the best resources I have ever encountered. If you want a way of absolutely exploding the evolutionary paradigm, this DVD is the ticket. And even beyond that, let me say that we have a booklet on global warming, which in essence will teach you discernment skills. Not to give you a pat answer, but to help you think through the issue. Why? Again, because truth matters. Those resources available again through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check them out online at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Andy, listening on Butt Radio, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Andy.
How's it going?
Good.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question. At the time of the rapture, what would happen to children who have not reached the age or maturity level of accountability? Would they be taken up in the rapture, or what would happen to them?
A couple of things I would say. First and foremost, that you want to look at the presupposition that's packed into the question. Is there such thing as a pre-tribulational rapture? If that's what you're asking, I don't think that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulational rapture, although the meaning of the tribulation, the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, all these issues are secondary issues, but I would think critically as you read passages that are often used to teach a pre-tribulational rapture and see if indeed they do teach that. But to your basic question about children, remember that God is not finding technicalities to keep people out of heaven. God is reconciling the world to himself. And therefore, the only people that will not inherit heaven are the ones who do not want the relationship with God so graciously provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only spoke of the universe leapt into existence, but who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, who lived the life that we could never live, and offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. So kids, before the age of reason, I believe, will have a relationship with God for all eternity. But all that choose not to have that relationship will get what they want. God doesn't force himself on people in this life, nor does he force himself on people in the life to come.
Okay. So regardless of whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever, children that are born after the rapture, the same would apply to them, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Anyone that wants a relationship with God can have that relationship with God. So if someone wants a relationship with God, they can have that relationship with God. They have the light of creation, Romans chapter 1, the light of conscience, Romans chapter 2, and if they respond to the light of creation and conscience, they will also receive the light of Christ, Romans chapter 3. Children before the age of reason, I think there's ample evidence from theological deduction to say that they will inherit eternal life.
Okay.
Fair enough?
All right, appreciate it. Yep, thanks for time.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Steve. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Hammond, Indiana. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Hank. Just curious, your comments about science and religion. Are you familiar with Francis Collins' The Language of God? Very interesting book.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was just past some writing that I did in a book called the Creation Answer Book, which is coming out next year, in which I point out that Collins and company staunchly defend Darwinian evolution and their views hardly correspond to reality. So this would coincide with the remarks I made earlier on in the broadcast.
Darwin right, hung. You don't think that's a possibility of being there being a Christian evolutionist of some type of.
Not when it comes to macroevolution. I mean, it flies in the face of the facts. First of all, from a biblical standpoint, kinds reproduce after their own kinds. Not only that, but from a scientific standpoint, Darwin hung his hopes on hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossils of the Cambrian explosion. Well, in actuality, the poverty of the fossil record has been an embarrassment. Virtually all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian, which is to say the Cambrian radiation vaporized the Darwinian tree of life. And not only so, but molecular biology has increasingly become an intractable enigma for Darwinian evolutionists. So I think you have the problem of science and scripture.
My question then would be, Hank, it appears that there are some people that are well-schooled in this area that are both Christian and evolutionist. So what would be your message to them?
Well, I think it's a contradiction in terms. It's like talking about flaming snowflakes. How can you believe in common descent if you believe the biblical paradigm? And how can you believe in common descent if you look at the scientific evidence? The scientific evidence does not point to transitional forms in the fossil record from one kind to another kind. There are transitions within kinds, but never from one kind to another kind. Now, I've written about this in some detail in my upcoming The Creation Answer book, but I've also written about this, the issue of theistic evolution, which applies directly to Francis Collins, in my book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, which is now available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And again, this is a self-contradictory idea. Not even God can direct an undirected process. God can do anything that's logically possible, but he can't make a squared circle. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist, and what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a couple of words about metamorphosis before we go back to our phone callers. Since examining the evidence for creation, resurrection, and the inspiration of Scripture over 30 years ago, I have not for a moment doubted that I too will experience metamorphosis. And yet somehow watching the DVD Metamorphosis, the reality of resurrection fluttered deeply into my soul once again on the wings of a butterfly. This is no doubt one of the most extraordinary resources we have ever offered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And you just have to see it to believe it. And once you do, you will recognize that it is one of the most powerful proofs. In fact, I would say ultimate proof for the existence of a divine creator. And again, it is available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin. He's listening on Sirius XM 131, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Hi. I really hate to interrupt this nice program with my question, but I had a really different question for you.
Sure.
I had a question in regards to ghosts, spirits, and demons, because I remember I actually called your program a while ago. I forgot if it was last week or the week before, then I lost the program, and you were talking about this. My question was, can they take a shape like to scare you or visibly, you know, like they have on TV and they have all these. I believe that's fake. But what's your take on this?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There's no such thing as a ghost unless you believe in mythology, which is to say that at death what happens is there is an unnatural rending between body and soul. The body goes back to the ground. The soul goes to the abode of the dead. In the Old Testament, it's called Sheol. In the New Testament, it's called Hades. Jesus defines this pretty clearly in Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16, in fact, there's a man who's rich. He dies. He finds himself in torment. He wants to go back and warn his five brothers, but he can't come back, and that's the point. So there's no evidence whatsoever that souls of the departed can trouble the living in the present. Beyond that, there's no evidence whatsoever that demons can take on form. Demons do not have created power, or creative power, I should say, and therefore they can't take on form. Thus, they can't take on some kind of tangible reality and scare someone on earth. Now, they can tempt us through mind-to-mind communication. They do, as it were, sit on our shoulder and whisper into our ear. The whisper can't be heard with the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. And that's precisely why we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Okay. Yeah. That was pretty much my question. And because I see all these things where they grab the people, they throw them, they do all these silly things, and I kind of laughed at it.
Well, and you should. They can't bite you. They can't throw you. But they can tempt you. So, again, they accost you in a metaphysical way, not in a physical way.
Okay. All right, and my only other question is, for your book, The Apocalypse Code, you said we can also have it in MP3 mode, correct?
Yeah, it's available on MP3 disc and MP3 download.
And that is, you read the book out word for word, or?
Yeah, I read the whole book word for word.
Okay, I think I like that one.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, and God bless you, Hank.
God bless you, Kevin. Available again. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Jonathan, listening to Bot Radio in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi, Jonathan.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, your question.
Heard your answer about the spirits not being able to take physical form, and I tend to agree with that, but I'm a little bit puzzled by what did Saul see when he visited the Witch of Endor and she supposedly conjured up a visible spirit of Samuel?
Well, it's a good question, and I think this actually is Samuel. That's my point of view. The miracle of bringing up Samuel from Hades or Sheol was not performed, however, by the Witch of Endor. It was performed in spite of the Witch of Endor.
Okay.
I think that if you read the passage, everything leads you to the conclusion that this was a sovereign act of God, such a sovereign act of God that the Witch of Endor was terrified seeing Samuel because she knew this wasn't something she did.
Okay, so that would be then along the same lines as what the three disciples saw at the Transfiguration was essentially a re-embodied Moses and Elijah.
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay.
But remember that what ultimately happens is what Christ describes in John 5. Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all, and that would include Elijah, and it would include Moses, when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. When Jesus appears a second time, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, that is when the body rises immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's when the permanent transformation takes place. The soul returns to an immortal, imperishable, incorruptible body.
Okay, so these three individuals kind of just got a little foretaste of that.
Yes, and this is not a normative foretaste. In other words, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, we would not call in any sense normative.
Okay.
This is a unique, spectacular, peculiar, and sovereign act of God for particular purposes, not a normative occasion.
Okay, well, that actually clears things up quite a bit.
Well, glad to help. Good talking to you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
And God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Albert, listening on WCRV, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Albert.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I had a question of regard to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, talking about the pre-tribulation rapture. I want to get your intake on that.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would ask is, where do you get a pre-tribulational rapture out of that passage? I know that it is used in that way, but perhaps we should say it is more properly abused in that way. In fact, I've used this very passage many times when I've done funerals. What does Paul say? Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. This passage from first to last has to do with resurrection, not a pre-tribulational rapture. You don't find anywhere in this passage a secret coming of Christ. He comes with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. You don't see anywhere in this passage Jesus reversing course and taking people up to heaven for 7 years. You don't see anywhere in this passage, after a secret coming, 7 years later, a second coming. So the presuppositions are read into this passage. This is a great and glorious passage on resurrection. It is not a great and glorious passage on a pre-tribulational rapture. And I would say we ought to think critically about all the passages that are being used today to support a pre-tribulational rapture. This is a secondary issue. We can debate it vigorously. We don't have to divide over it. But nonetheless, think critically. Use discernment. That's what I was talking about at the opening of the broadcast. There are people that will tell you that you find all the details of a pre-tribulational rapture in John chapter 14. Tim LaHaye is a classic case in point. But go to John chapter 14 and see if you find it there. Or Revelation, a letter to the church at Philadelphia. You'll find the pre-tribulational rapture there. Read the passage carefully and see if in fact you do. So again, this calls for not rhetoric, but discernment skills. John Huntsman used rhetoric. In reality, if you use discernment skills, you find out that the rhetoric doesn't correspond to reality. So what he says is settled science isn't settled science, and what people are saying is settled scripture isn't settled scripture when it comes to reading a pre-tribulational rapture into the passage. That's the point. That help?
A little bit.
Well, here's what I'm saying, just to reiterate what I'm saying very clearly. I'm saying read the passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and see if this is not a passage about resurrection as opposed to a pre-tribulational rapture. That's what I'm asking you to do. And then make up your mind.
Interesting.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. I don't know if I have time to go to another caller before we go to break. I do have enough time to talk about a book that I'm really excited about, Has God Spoken? Because the book demonstrates not only that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but it shows you how to read the Bible for all its worth, or as I like to say, mine the Bible for all its wealth. Has God Spoken is the crowning jewel of my publishing career. I am as excited about this book as anything I've done in over 30 years of Christian ministry. And the book is now available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Not only that, but for those who contribute $100 or more, we'll send you a personalized copy. I personalize them every morning. A personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Again, the subtitle, Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. One other point before we go to break, and that has to do with a Christian Research Journal. A new journal coming out momentarily, and when it does, you want to make sure you get a copy. This is an award-winning magazine your family should not be without. Your home shouldn't be without. Your church shouldn't be without. Your school shouldn't be without. So if you've not subscribed, here's an opportunity to subscribe for yourself, a family member, or a friend. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or as always, pick up the phone, dial 888-7000-CRI. And we'll be right back with more of your questions right here, answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. History, butterflies have fascinated artists and philosophers, scientists and school children with their profound beauty. In Metamorphosis, a spectacular documentary film from Illustra Media, you'll explore the mystery and magic of intelligently designed butterflies like never before. Through stunning photography, computer animation, and magnetic resonance imaging, Metamorphosis opens once hidden doors into every stage of a butterfly's life cycle. Filmed in the lush rainforests of Ecuador and Mexico's transvolcanic mountains, Metamorphosis is an unforgettable journey filled with the joys of discovery. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'd like to send you Metamorphosis on DVD. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. The Metamorphosis of Monarchs, the mysterious Methuselah gene. Their migration from places such as Maine and Michigan to a mountain range in Mexico is as mysterious as it is memorable. It is truly a remarkable DVD put out by Illustria Media. It's for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, one of the most extraordinary resources we've ever offered at the Christian Research Institute. Get yours today at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just pick up the phone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. We'll answer as many questions as we possibly can in this segment, but a lot of people calling in And I want to alert you to the fact that I'm going to stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls in an off-air hour, and I'll play that sometime when I'm traveling. So again, my answers to your questions in the next hour as well. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to as many as I can right now, and the rest in the hour to come. Here's the number to dial right now, once again, during this hour and the next, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Les, listening in New Jersey. Hi, Les.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
You too. My question is about divorce.
Yeah.
Now, my question is kind of complicated for me because I've been saved for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was married. Me and my current wife have been married for 5 years. Before that, I was married to a girl for less than a year, and we just lived a total sinful life. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I thought, like, Christian people were crazy. I didn't believe in nothing. And a friend of mine asked me to go to church after I was divorced and everything, and I guess God just smacked me around and made me who I am today, which I'm grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me and my wife now, we serve the Lord. I'm a youth leader at my church. She is also a teacher, and it's an incredible experience I'm in right now. But now I'm getting confused because, our preacher's talking about divorce. I mean, if you divorce and you remarry, you're living in sin, and my wife now is living in sin, and it's just real confusing to me. Really, really confusing.
Well, let me straighten out the confusion.
Excuse me?
Let me straighten out the confusion.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm not speaking here in any gray term. I'm speaking in black and white. What you've heard from the preacher, whoever the preacher is wrong. W-R-O-N-G. You can't unscramble the egg, which is to say you can't divorce your present wife and go back to your first wife. You are now a believer. And you are committed to the wife to whom you are now married. And you need to honor her and cherish her and love her and move forward. You can learn from your past, but you can't unscramble the egg. There are always consequences to sin. Consequences follow like night follows day. But also remember that God's forgiveness is the balm of Gilead in your life and in your marriage. And if you start thinking backwards or think about, wow, now I'm living in sin. No, you are married and you would be sinful if you didn't fully commit yourself to that marriage. Honor and cherish your wife, and become a testimony to the grace of God. So you can't go back, but you can move forward in the grace and love and knowledge of God. So as a new believer, again, cherish your wife, be committed to her, just as Christ is committed to the church. You can do whatever you need to do in a sanctified way to try to reach back to your first wife. Maybe you shouldn't be doing it personally, but to be a witness to her in some way or other, but you can't reattach yourself to what has been severed. And again, the operative phrase, I've repeated it, but I think you need to hear it. You can't unscramble the egg. You can go forward in commitment and compassion and in the love of Christ as you cherish the wife that God has given you for the rest of your life.
Understandable. 100%. That just makes a lot of sense to me. Like, I was really just getting confused, and I didn't understand. Like, not just my priest, like, people tell you, well, you have to divorce this wife now. I'm like, well, so you're telling me that God is telling me to divorce now? I'm like, that just don't make sense. That just don't make no common sense at all.
Well, it doesn't make common sense. It doesn't make biblical sense. So, again, press on. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will use you. His grace and mercy is there to forgive you, and you can be used as a tool in His hand for the rest of your life. Look at David and the sins that he committed, and yet God not only used him, but continues to use him to this very day, particularly when you think of Psalm 139 in Psalm 51, the power of his words penetrates our hearts in the present.
Yes. That's great. That's my question. And that's incredible. Thank you very much.
Press on, my friend.
Thank you very much, Hank.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Karen listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
And I know you have a question.
Is this Hank?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was you. I'm driving in my car, so what I'm going to do is ask a question.
Okay.
And probably let you go so you can answer that for me.
Sure.
My question is about hospice care.
Yes.
My father-in-law currently is getting hospice care, and I'm uneasy about these drugs that they're calling comfort drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is this just a form of euthanasia, or is this, I mean, I'm really confused.
Well, a couple of things that I will say about this. First, in Christian theology, the timing and terms of death are always the province of God alone. So a doctor is never permitted to usurp the prerogative of God. And hastening death based on subjective judgments concerning one's quality of life is of course, a direct violation of the Bible. So there are two kinds of euthanasia. One is called passive euthanasia, which is morally permissible in that it allows the process of dying to run its natural course. But active euthanasia is morally prohibited because it directly involves the taking of a human life. Now, in the process of hospice, there are drugs that can be used to help a person in a very difficult situation. But I do think that it's also important to realize that from a biblical standpoint, there's virtue in suffering, but never a necessity for needless suffering. So I think you have to make a distinction between suffering, which suffering does bring growth, but there's no need for unnecessary suffering. So to mitigate suffering through the modern miracle of pain management is consistent with biblical morality from my perspective.
Okay, because they had administered drugs to him, and now he's just been in a sleep state. And, like, we're just waiting for him to die. And I just feel like they have robbed us of very important time to be with him.
Well, and look, I'm not at all saying something that counters that point of view. I think that you have a legitimate point of view because from a biblical perspective, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And like suffering for our faith, physical suffering has redemptive value. It can be likened to a furnace that rids us of dross and fashions us more and more like the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So I think there is, given the principles there, a case to be made that putting someone in a stupor where you can't communicate with them is not particularly helpful. My dad went through this. For quite a number of years, he had a fibrosing in the lungs, and it encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen, and so he literally suffocated to death over a long process of time. And he was a public speaker, so it was a very difficult dying process. And sometimes when I would see him in extraordinary agony and pain, I would say to him, Dad, wouldn't you just like to go home to be with the Lord? And he would always answer by saying this, no, every moment that God gives me is precious, even in the midst of suffering. And he taught me a lot through his suffering. He taught not only his children, but his grandchildren and great-grandchildren a lot through his suffering, and he was coherent. He didn't take pain medication to the point of not being able to communicate. And so to the very end, he was able to communicate, even though he was going through an agonizing dying process. In fact, at the end of his life, before he took his last breath, and I watched it all, he prayed for every one of his children, every one of his grandchildren, every one of his great-grandchildren, then took his last breath and died. So I think to put someone into sort of a vegetative state it can be a different thing than just pain management.
Well, what a beautiful legacy from your father. That's just beautiful.
Well, Karen, you're going through a difficult time, and certainly our thoughts and prayers are with you, and I don't say that in an empty way. It's a very difficult circumstance that you go through, but in these circumstances, we learn so much. It is in the cauldron of adversity that we come to a true valuation of things.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hank, and God bless you.
God bless you, Karen. I've written about euthanasia in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can hear from the music. We're running out of time for today's live edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I'm going to stay right where I'm sitting for the next hour. Continue answering your questions. So many hanging on, so many calling in. So if you want your question answered, here's the number to dial, and you can dial it for the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK. I'll continue answering questions for the next hour. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Thank you all for supporting this ministry. Those that support it prayerfully and financially are touching the lives of people, trust me, in a powerful way for time and for eternity. Thank you for enabling this process. It is making a difference.
Before we leave the air, write down this number, 888-7000-CRI. That's CRI's resource line. Number again is 888-7000-CRI. Another way to go is to visit our website. Here's the address. It's equip.org. There, you'll find books, videos, DVDs, and commentaries on a multitude of topics. It's all available from one website, www.equip.org. And of course, you're welcome to write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today.
888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.